It's a pleasure, man. We got Joe Rogan in the studio for the first time in the many years, the history that we have of him being on the show. It's pretty cool.
Paul McCartney's ex-wife is saying that he beat her and drugged her.
Dude, like stabbed her with a broken wine glass, pushed her when she was pregnant. He would abuse drugs.
What do you think, Joe?
I think she needs to take the money and shut her pie hole. Yeah. That's what I think. She's going to get like a couple $100 million.
Yeah, you know? She turned down a settlement of $100 million.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, that must be...
Not enough.
I love marriage. That is, I love it when people fall for it.
Well,
it's
said,
like watching people play three card Monty. Like, oh, don't you see what's going on here, dude?
Well, but Joe, don't you think you fall in love, meet a girl, want to settle down?
I will not ever get married.
Really?
It is an archaic tribal ritual.
Now wait a minute. Now we got
to come on.
Let's save the tape.
It is nothing but a contract. It is a legal contract. I am all for love.
Right.
I'm all for being with someone. I am not for involving the government in relationships.
But
it's
what,
the dumbest thing.
But what
you could
about the beautiful idea, the institution?
Well, it's a ridiculous institution. It's just as ridiculous as religion. It's just as ridiculous as any other archaic notions that people keep around.
Well, can't you ever envision the day when you love a woman so much?
Did I want to go to court?
That she could...
Why would you want to go to court?
But love it.
Hear me out. That she could express to you that this is very important to her and you would want to make her happy in that way.
Well, she's retarded.
Well,
that's what you tell
me. I
agree with you, Joe.
I'll lay a broom on the ground and jump over it like in Roots. Right? That's as close as I'm getting to marriage.
I agree with you. That is awesome.
I'm not having anyone who's involved in any form of government have any more control over my life than I want. Relationships. I'm just against contracts. I think it's ridiculous.
Now, if they hadn't got married, though, if they hadn't got married and they had kids, then the sons would be known as bastards and they wouldn't carry the name of the father.
To who? What does that mean? You call your kid anything you want. You call your kid Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, but what if the other kids in the playground
sign
do that?
On a piece of paper?
What about like tax breaks and stuff like that?
Well, if you need that, that's whatever. You know, that's minimal tax breaks. That's tiny. Go make some more money.
What about the prenup?
The money that you're going to lose?
Yeah, what about a prenup?
You know what that means? Prenuptial. That's pre-wedding. That means all the time you're married, you owe half that money.
And
do you understand that?
What's
and
wrong
by
with
the
that?
Way, what's wrong with that? How often does a woman make anywhere near the amount of money the man makes? You do. Congratulations, you found a loser.
And that's it. No, come on.
Here's the deal.
Now here's the deal. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. But Joe, to your head, making you say that.
Now, Joe, let me.
Joe,
what happens? What happens if you meet a girl, you fall in love with her, and she's the type that needs to be married?
She needs to rearrange her the way she looks at life. That's ridiculous.
Now, will you have that when you get into a relationship?
I'll be real clear. I will never be involved in any legal contracts that I don't have to be involved in. I don't have a contract with my manager, and I've been with him since like 15, 16 years.
Right.
My manager picked me up when I was like an open mic comedian. It's been 16 years. Yeah. I've been doing comedy.
Did he ever want to put you under contract?
We were under contract for a couple years, like 3 years, and then after a while, he realized what kind of person I am, and I realized what kind of person he is. I'm like, well, we don't have the contracts. What are we doing? You're always going to get the money, and you know we're always going to work together. Let's just do this. We don't, and that's how it should be.
Do you?
Need the law. When you need the law, it means to me you don't trust somebody. That's what you know. Like, I love you, I trust you, but I'm going to get that on paper right there, inside here, and here, and here. Can I get a thumbprint? Bang, and blood sample? Bang. Well, what are you doing?
What about this?
Is that? It's ridiculous.
How about instead of doing an official wedding ceremony, would you be open to doing like some sort of exchanging of vows, but no legal thing.
Absolutely. And anything that you want to do, as long as it doesn't involve the law. What the legal system is, we have to realize, we are all, as human beings, playing follow the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What I'm telling you is there is no leader. You know as much as I know what life is all about, and I don't know anything. It's just rituals. We're just following these rituals. Those rituals are not your friend. If you care about someone and you love someone, that's what life is all about. Life is about relationships, about enjoying each other's time together, your friends, and having good times and having fun. It's not about legal contracts. That's made up. That is culture. That's fake stuff. And I'm not involved.
Now, see, this is what we got to do. The next time, at some point, when we do another 28-hour show, because we do this show once a year, Joe, where we go on 28 straight hours, no music, no commercials. It's just us for 28 straight hours. We got to do that because these would be interesting conversations.
For sure. Especially if we bust out the bong, bitch.
Whoa.
You are my best friend.
You hated me because I was anti-marriage. That's funny.
Here's the thing. Joe has very strong opinions and feelings on various things, and I don't share them, but it's still interesting, and I love to hear about it, and I like the exchanging of ideas, no doubt about it, and I respect your decision to, you know, have those opinions. You know what I mean? Now, tell me this. When you get into a relationship with a woman, are you very upfront right away so that there's no preconceived notion that, hey, if this goes anywhere, we're not going to get married?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, anybody who sees my act goes, oh, geez. You know, unless they think it's just jokes.
Now, talk to me about, we talked about this right before we went to break. Talk to me about this Victoria and Jonathan. They were on The Amazing Race, and they were the couple that fought all the time, and he actually got physical with her.
Yeah, he threw her to the ground on the show.
Yeah,
and
he also
attacked some other guy on VH1. He did some VH1 show, and he went after some, I don't know who the guy was.
Him and I screamed at each other on the air.
Really?
Yeah, he came on the air one time on the phone, and by the end of the conversation, he and I were screaming at each other.
He's not a good person. Him and his wife, I mean, I don't know who's worse, or if she feeds off him or he feeds off her. But when they were on the show, like right away, you know, when you're around a dog, you don't trust the dog, you're like, man, what's up with that guy's dog? The dog's growling.
Right.
Get that thing out of here, man.
Right.
That's what it was like immediately.
Right.
My instincts, you know, immediately were like, get away from this dude.
Yeah.
And right away, they were just gross and fighting with the other contestants and fighting with each other and screaming at each other, calling each other names and you stupid bitch and you this, you that. And while this is going on, while they're doing the stunt, this kid from Survivor, this kid Johnny Fairplay, who's hilarious,
right?
Is screaming at them, heckling them. He's yelling, Jonathan, you can do better. Dump her. She's dead weight.
Oh,
he's
that's
saying
great.
All this stuff and she's screaming, F you. You shut up. And he's like, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. It's like just constantly heckling, and I'm giving them things to say because I'm laughing my ass off.
Nice.
Just like all the rest of the contestants are all howling, laughing. All right, they come back from this stunt. They screwed up. They got eliminated. They come back, and this woman, Victoria, punches this Johnny Fairplay guy full blast right in the stomach. We just walked up to him and hit him as hard as she could and knocked him down. Like, he fell down. He was like, whoa. And I go, what are you doing? I go, you can't hit people. I go, just because you hit your husband doesn't mean you can hit other people.
Sean, we don't still have the audio of that, do we?
It's
pretty weak. It's like,
try to find it. The audio, even the audio is great because you hear Joe.
I love that.
You have
the full deal. Because they didn't want, whatever reason, they didn't want to edit. They didn't want to show me pushing him because he got like in my face, like an inch from my face, and he's screaming in my face, and all my instincts were like, this guy will hit me. Like, definitely. This guy is not a cool guy. He does not have his stuff together. I do not trust him. I don't feel safe, and I sent him flying. I shoved him, and then he goes, I dare you to touch me again. I said, or what, bitch? And then I pushed him again, and I'm like, this is too physical.
So
like,
when,
I don't trust
when
any,
did
no one's breaking it up, so then I grabbed the back of his head and held on to him. And I was waiting for him to punch me so I could knee his brains in, but it never happened.
Now, none of that was shown.
Like, no, they didn't show that. They only showed me holding the back of his head.
When did producers or whoever intervene?
They were in a trailer like 100 yards away.
Who was there?
Well, there was just
a camera guy
people.
And that's it?
Yeah, the only guy who stepped in and stopped it was the other contestant, that dude, The Miz, who was like a pro wrestler.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, is that the way it goes on Fear Factor? Like, there's just not producers? Or,
yeah, no, there's been a couple times where I'm like, whoa, I might be in danger here. Like, there was one crazy guy. There's just not in that situation. That would have been danger if I wasn't paying attention. I let that guy hit me. And he would have done that. But there was one time where this guy was really crazy, and he had this big vat of blood, and he had to dive into this blood and get these rings.
What kind of blood?
Well, it's cow's blood. And this guy was really crazy. Before the stunt, he was talking to himself in a side view mirror of this truck.
Right.
He was outside looking. He goes, you are a winner. You will do this. You will follow through. You will succeed. You know, he's one of those guys. And I was like, oh my God. And I went back to Bruce. I go, this guy is crack.
Right.
Like, homeboy's out there talking to the mirror. Right. So I'm like, well, maybe that's just the way he gets motivated. Right. So he goes and does the stunt, and he totally falls apart. I mean, he only has to get like three of these rings, and he just can't do it. He can't even get one. And he's screaming and yelling. He starts hitting the blood.
I remember that one.
And I'm looking around at this, and I'm looking at these like little skinny camera guys. They're all holding their cameras. And, you know, the rest of the people are like PAs holding wires. I'm like, no one is here to help me. All right, if this guy goes nuts and goes after me, I'm in deep trouble. This is a big, crazy, roided up dude who's hitting the blood.
That's weird, man.
It was pretty
interesting. I'm surprised that there's nobody standing there to like jump in.
No, there's none of that.
This guy.
Has the network like ever had a talk with you? Like, this is if someone hits you first, you're not allowed to hit back, or you are allowed to hit back.
You didn't get a talking to about the thing that happened with Jonathan?
No, because it was all real obvious. If anybody saw the tape, it was real obvious that I was standing in one position. He came into me and he got in my face, and it was also really obvious that I never hit him. Right. You know, and I didn't hurt him. I just grabbed a hold of him. I mean, if he did,
I'm surprised that his wife didn't try to jump in and get involved.
No,
she seems like that type.
She was horrified. She was horrified that she punched the guy. And then she was horrified that her husband
married
was getting
him.
Bitched out.
Yeah. Right.
You know, the whole thing was just ugly.
It's terrible.
It was one of those things where you start a chain in motion and he's too stupid to stop it. And, you know, it was a horrible decision on his part to get in my face and start screaming.
Now, speaking of fights, because we're going to wrap up here in a second, but I can't let you go before we talk about the Mencia stuff.
Oh.
It has been.
You
listen,
know what? What is the point? I don't even want to talk about that guy anymore. I mean, look, this is. I mean, I've been talking about this on a million different radio
stations. Let's make you guys up. Let's get you guys fixed up. Let's put an end.
That's hilarious.
He wants to.
He wants to be friends. Do you know why he wants to? Because he takes a beating over and over again every time I talk about it, because it's reality. The reality is he's a joke thief who's not really Mexican. That's not really his name. His name is Ned Holness. He's half German and half Honduran. He's been stealing jokes since the moment he got on stage.
But what if his motivation is he really wants to be friends?
I'm going to be real clear about this. When someone works for People Magazine or whether they work for New York Times and they plagiarize, that it's a big deal. Those people are fired. They're taken out of the circulation. They're not in the newspaper anymore.
Right.
When someone steals a song, when someone steals a riff, they go to court, they lose money.
But isn't that illegal? Isn't plagiarism in newsprint, illegal?
But it is not taken seriously in the world of stand-up comedy, and nobody protects the comedians. No one.
Right.
No one protects comedians except themselves. No club owners. Comedy Central doesn't. HBO doesn't. They all wash their hands and walk away.
If he called you on your cell phone or he wrote you an email,
and he said,
listen, he goes, between you and me, you're right about the stuff you say. I have taken a couple of liberties with a couple people's jokes.
It doesn't matter. He's going to keep doing it. He's not a funny guy. This is what you have to understand. There's two types of comedians. There's a comedian that's an open, honest person who's trying to look at the world and figure things out and go, what is going on here? What is life? What is this? What is that? Why am I doing this? What's funny about that? And then there are other people who are minor birds. They hear someone say something funny, and they say something funny, and people laugh when they say that funny thing, so they feel good. They get this charge out of it, so they want to say more funny things. So they read funny things in the paper, and they watch funny things on TV, and they collect these funny things and say them. But they don't even know who they are, so they don't have any opinion on things. It's impossible for them to truly be funny on their own. They're always going to be funny forever with other people's ideas, because comedy is an intangible language. And to learn comedy, you got to open yourself up to it, man. You got to admit, this is some crazy thing that I have to figure out, and it's going to take years to do, and I have to write, and I have to work at it, and I have to bomb, and I have to eat ass on stage. Those are all just truths. You have
now,
to do it.
But within the psychology of it, I say to myself, now there are two different philosophies. There's the philosophy that you have of like, no way, screw this guy, he's a thief. But there is another philosophy, which I'm curious of why you don't want to subscribe to that train of thought, which is, you know what? Whatever with that guy, you know?
Well, the problem is that guy's stealing people's stuff daily. He stole a friend of mine's bit and did it on his show. He's done it bits on Comedy Central, on his TV show. He's done it on his stand-up specials with guys who are like open mic comics, guys who don't have any money, guys who can't fight against it. It's a real problem. It's a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
And as he grows bigger and becomes more popular and needs more material, it's going to continue to be a problem. He's done it his entire career, and he's not going to stop. And he doesn't even admit it. When people ask him about it, he says, you know, tell me what I've done. Tell me what I've done. Well, it's all over the internet. If you go to YouTube, you can see comparisons of his bits and other people's bits.
Wow.
I mean, he's been stealing since the beginning of time. He is a criminal. No different than someone that steals your car. If someone steals your car and drives around the neighborhood and you're like, hey, that's my car. And everybody's like, dude, don't hate. That's an awesome car. That guy's got that car. That's what's going on.
I never thought of it in that way, but sure. Okay.
That's exactly what it is. And I'm not saying he sucks. I'm not saying, look, there's a lot of people that I don't like. There's a lot of people like that love country music. Does country music suck? No, it doesn't suck. There's people who like it. There's people who want to hear that. They put it in their CD player. When it plays, they're happy. They enjoy enjoy that. Mm. Who am I to say that that's wrong? I have my own taste. You have your own taste. We all have our own taste. It's not a matter of what's good or bad, and no one's the, you know, the judge of comedy. Comedy is like any other art form. I don't understand musicals. I go, what the hell is everybody watching? What, they're singing this? When does that happen? Like,
is
you're
there,
having a conversation.
There,
you're
is
saying,
there anything?
But people love it, right?
Is there, if he were to nationally say,
why him? Why? There's so many other people to concentrate on.
I'll tell you what. Honestly, because it would be very cool to see a couple of guys who I heard were friends before be friends again.
Do you know why? When we were friends? This is 1994 when I first moved to Los Angeles. And we were friends because I lived in New York, and I came in. He was a friendly guy, but a tremendous ego. And he was always talking just dumb talk about him. You know, everybody is going to, you know, recognize that he's the greatest comedian, and they're not giving him his props and this and that. And then I would notice when he would go on stage, I'm like, God, I've heard that. I've heard that. I've heard that bit. And then I started talking to people about it. I'm like, okay, does Carlos steal? Like, what's going on? And they go, and then I found out his real name is Ned. They're like, first of all, don't call him by a slave name. That's the big joke. Everybody at the Comedy Store calls him either the phony Mexican. They either call him the phony Mexican or they call him Menstelia. Those are his two nicknames. Wow. So I go, and then I saw, clearly, I saw him do a Dave Chappelle bit. I mean, verbatim. Dave Chappelle used to do this great bit about guys delivering pizza in bad neighborhoods. They have to, like, kick down the door with a gun, holding the pizza, everybody on the floor, putting money in front of you. It was a really funny bit. And I saw him do it verbatim, and I'm like, wow, this guy's a thief. So I brought it up to him, and he says exactly what all thieves said. I was doing that long before him, bro. I've been doing that a long time. You know, a lot of people heard about that, and it's a parallel thinking situation. No, it's not. No, it's not. Over and over again, he did You Might Be a Redneck. I saw him do You Might Be a Redneck. I saw him on stage say, if your family tree doesn't fork, maybe you're a redneck. I mean, he's just a tremendous minor bird.
I'm getting the impression we're not going to make you guys friends
what's
today.
What's the point? I don't need to be friends with everybody. You don't need to fix that. There's a lot of cool comedians out there. There's a lot of great comedy going on right now, and we should celebrate that. And if people like Carlos, you know what? If you don't mind that he's doing that, and you don't mind buying stolen VCRs or whatever the hell you do, you know, that's okay. That's on you, man. That's all your karma. But you got to know what you're watching, man. And that you put your thoughts into an artist, you know, whether that artist is a musician or a writer or whatever it is, you invest in them, and you got to think of who you want to invest in.
Before we let you go, there's people that are calling, have UFC questions, and they've been holding a long time, so I want to let
those
people
hang out
through
as long as you guys want me to.
P1, Zach, you there?
Awesome.
Zach, you still with us? Zach wanted to know if you knew anything about the Dana White
Tito Ortiz boxing match.
Yeah. Is that going
to
happen?
Yeah, it's supposed to happen. It's supposed to be November 20th, I believe.
What are your thoughts on that fight?
It's interesting. You know, Dana's a really good boxer. You know, a lot of people don't know. They just know Dana from The Ultimate Fighter or from seeing him at the UFC fights. Mm-hmm. But he's a very good boxer, you know.
The guy looks pretty solid. I mean,
he's been training for this really hard. He really hates Tito, you know. And look, if it was an MMA fight, Tito would kill him. He would stuff him in the corner and pound his face in with elbows. But it's not an MMA fight. It's a boxing match.
That
so it's kind of interesting.
P1 Mike, you there?
Yeah, what's up? Hey, last time Joe was on the show, he talked about maybe fighting Wesley Snipes, and I assume you heard this week the feds are messing with Wesley, saying he's tax fraud. And
yeah, man, I think that's why Wesley wanted to fight in the first place. I think he's just desperado.
He needs
money. Yeah. Wow. And
why would Wesley Snipes need money? He's been in movies. He makes some money.
He didn't pay taxes.
Remember? We talked about that.
Yeah.
He
didn't pay any taxes.
So he's going to hold
a long time.
You know,
and he just went through all his money.
Well, the thing that I don't get is, how is it that you are at that level and you're not, I mean, how do you not pay taxes?
You can surround yourself with crazy people, man. You surround yourself with people who believe nutty things, like, you know, hey, it says here in the Constitution that federal income tax is not. They don't care what's in the Constitution, dude. They'll put you in a cage.
Right.
Pay the man. All right. We're in a creepy situation where the government just has their fingers deep in the honey jar, and you got to just accept that. Take that 48% tax bracket, keep making more money, and just be glad you're not living in Guatemala, bitch.
He probably was married.
Well, he's probably married.
He was married.
It,
that's
Eddie.
Where the dough goes.
Well,
that's
where Aaron goes. Are you there? Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, I'm Joe Rogan. Yeah, I noticed you weren't at the last fight, but I wanted to get your take on Anderson Silva just running through Rich Franklin like that. You know, I think a lot of people gave Rich Franklin a lot of respect, and here Dana White brought in Anderson Silva from kind of overseas, if you will, and he just kind of ran through Rich Franklin. What was your take on that?
Well, I kind of had a feeling that was going to happen if Rich Franklin decided to keep that fight standing. We were actually talking about that very subject in between the breaks. And if you, what I was saying is, if you understand striking, and if you watch like you watch strikers, you see like a fluidity, like a poetry to Anderson Silva's motions. He's very smooth and technical, and is very precise, and his striking is just top of the food chain. But if you look at Rich Franklin, he's a very athletic guy, very intelligent guy, incredibly disciplined, works harder than anybody, but his striking is awkward. He throws arm punches. He pushes the fight a lot, but his head is always straight up in the air. His neck like extends. He doesn't have his shoulders up high and tucked, and his punches aren't like tight and coming straight from the hands. He's a very physical guy. He's throwing muscle punches. And you know what? You get a guy who's a very physical guy, and you leave openings when you do that. When you throw wide arm punches and you throw, you know, these kicks with your hands down, there's openings there. And a guy like Anderson Silva is a surgeon. He finds those openings, and every time he's just going to land right in those spots, and he's going to win every time. The only way Rich Franklin could have beaten him is take that guy to the ground and smash his face in.
Joe, we got Joe Rogan's our guest in the studio, and we got a guy that wants to thank you. P1 Dalen, you there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
About a year ago, I was at the Comedy Store in L.A., and Joe was doing some stand-up there, and there were some hecklers making fun of all the comedians before Joe had come on, and they had started making fun of Joe. And finally, Joe told me, this is enough. You guys can't be heckling people. It's not right. You guys are immoral. And immoral. The longer...
Did you say that, Joe?
Did you say they were immoral?
Paraphrasing.
Go ahead.
I probably called them douchebags.
Right? Immoral, same thing.
Yes. Go ahead, Dalen.
I was trying to clean it up a little. But the longer Joe was yelling at him, spit started flying out of his mouth, and his veins started creeping up his neck. And finally, he got everybody kicked out. And he apologized to the crowd and bought everybody a drink.
Is that right, Joe?
I kick anybody out, and I've kicked people out a bunch of times, I buy the whole crowd a drink. That's my little
thing.
That's your thing?
Well, I tell the people, I go, look, man, I'm not here to yell at people. I don't want anybody to have a bad time. I want everybody to have a good time. And I want all of you to have fun. And we're all in this together, all of us. And what we have to recognize is that it's not me versus you. I happen to be the comedian. This is my time to talk, because I'm the one who's prepared all this stuff. But I'm no better than you. I'm here together with you, and I want everybody to have fun. And I'm kicking this person out because this person is an a-hole. And they're ruining our little thing, man. And let's get them out. And maybe they'll learn from that. They'll go home. They'll feel bad. And then next time they're at our comedy club, they won't heckle.
Now,
and I explain that. And then we all toast together. Everybody, I have everybody, I have all the waitresses serve drinks to everybody on the table. I hold your drink, wait for everybody to get it, and together. We'll
approximately.
This. Nice.
Approximately.
How much does it cost?
Yes.
I've done it when it's over 1,000. I've done it a couple times. Yeah,
that's dude. Awesome.
Yeah, but you know what? A show is a show. You know what? The experience of a show. Okay, when someone comes out to see me, this is the way I look at it. It's like I call it the Joe DiMaggio principle, because I read this thing about Joe DiMaggio once that said when he was like an older dude, he's like in his 40s or something, he was playing baseball and he slid in the third base, and someone said, why are you still doing that? You're already in the Hall of Fame. Why do you still play so hard? You can get hurt. He said, somewhere out there in the audience, there's someone who has never seen Joe DiMaggio play. And I don't want to let him down.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, wow.
That's
great. That's strong. Wow.
Yeah, it is.
Especially for a pansy-ass sport like baseball.
Great. That's great. Hey, listen, he is not short on opinions, man. The guy's got opinions.
Okay. I mean, look, I said again, I watch pool on TV, all right? I'm retarded.
Now, Joe, first of all, Joe Rogan is probably not the guy that you want to pick to heckle. I don't know. It's just my...
Yeah.
Probably not the right show to heckle at.
This is all you know about hecklers. All hecklers, every single one of them, they're insecure and they're in a bad spot. They're drunk. They're unhappy. There's no cool, balanced, centered, happy, healthy hecklers. That
right.
doesn't exist.
Right.
If you go to see a show, like say if you go to see a show and you're not enjoying it for whatever reason, or you disagree with the comedian for whatever reason, you're allowed to leave. You can leave at any time. It's not your place to yell out. It's like you watch a movie and the bad guy starts winning. You can't scream out, "This movie sucks! Like, what is this? This is not what I want." You know?
Do you take each heckler like case by case, or
oh,
do you
yeah,
have a
yeah,
set?
Yeah. No.
So you don't have like a set rap that you have.
No, no.
So it's whatever the heckler is, you deal with that heckler based on who they are.
Handling heckers is like sparring with a drunk 2-year-old. Like, all of them, they're so simple. It's so, all you have to do is expose what they're doing. Like, yeah. Why are you yelling this out? You know, I mean, if someone's yelling something out, there's only one reason. It's because they want to focus the attention on themselves.
Right.
That's all it is.
And so is it a lot of pointing that out?
Yeah, for sure. You know,
how do you, what's the process of getting somebody kicked out? Do you say, okay, I'm ready for this guy to go?
A lot of clubs, they silence people right away. The really good clubs, they come in right away and they say, like, you got to go, man. You either got to shut your mouth or you got to go. Like, you're interrupting the show. Like, but there's a lot of dummies who think that they're helping. Like, I've had people heckle and they come out, hey, I was helping you, man. I was helping the show. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need any help.
We're friends with
and I don't pick on people in the audience. I never, like, if someone's in the front, I never, like, hey, you with the crazy tie. I don't do that ever.
A good friend of mine is Craig Gass. He's a comedian that
I know he is great impressionist.
Yeah,
he's
great,
man. Kinison impressionist.
Yeah, dude, it's great. And we were out in New York, and he was out there at the same time. He lives out there, but he was there at the same time, and we went and saw him at Caroline's. And what I mean, just, I have such a respect for guys that are able to do what you guys do. I mean, it's not easy. It doesn't look easy. To me, a lot of people say, oh, man, you just get up there and do your thing. It looks so difficult, man, from the sideline watching him, you know, on the side of the stage. It just looked hard.
It's the easiest, most difficult thing you'll ever do. Yeah. And that's what it is. It's like, if you're really good at it, if you've been doing it a long time, and you stay sharp, like you stay on stage all the time, then it's like, it's fun, you know? It's a great art form, but man, when they don't laugh,
listen,
dude, give me knuckles.
Joe, it was a pleasure finally getting to have you in the studio, man.
Thank
it was
you for
great.
Having me, man. I appreciate
it's Joe Rogan. And tonight,
I'm gonna have the Copley Theater tonight.
Yeah, tonight is the Copley Theater. Real Meta Comedy, Copley Symphony Hall tonight. And
go to my website.
John Heffron, Charlie Murphy, and Joe Rogan. That's a good show, man.
It should be a lot of fun.
We'll take a break. We'll be back.